Myanmar's Western-backed opposition leader Aung San Suu Kyi is under increasing fire for her silence on the massacre of Rohingya Muslims. The Nobel Peace Laureate has refused to speak out against abuses committed by Myanmar's military on the Rohingya. Activists who used to support Suu Kyi now accuse her of ignoring the abuses on the minority group. Some analysts say her inaction is politically motivated. Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy looks ahead to elections in 2015. They say Suu Kyi fears that expressing support for the Muslim minority could jeopardize her campaign. At least 650 Rohingya Muslims have been killed from the violence in Myanmar's western Rakhine province. Amnesty International says both Myanmar's military and extremist Buddhists are behind the massacre. Benjamin Zawaki with Amnesty International is joining me now on the line from Bangkok to share his thoughts with us on the situation in Myanmar. Mr. Zawaki, thanks for being with us. First of all, tell us about the reasons behind this plight of the Muslim minority in Myanmar and how long it's been going on.
Well, the communal violence, which has diminished substantially in recent days, began in early June. And so that's been going on for about 2 months. But really what preceded that for decades, frankly, has been systemic discrimination on the grounds of ethnicity primarily, secondarily on the grounds of religion, of the ethnic minority Rohingya population in northern Rakhine State. The sort of violence we've seen in the past 2 months or so has just been a sort of exacerbation of that issue, perhaps a dramatic example of that issue. But really the institutional violence has been perpetrated against this minority now for decades.
Right. So right now, again, a lot of criticism facing Aung San Suu Kyi in Myanmar for failing to speak out against what's happening. We are seeing a lot of disturbing images right now across the internet, for instance, of what's happened to these Muslim people, the Muslim minority in Myanmar. Yet we're not seeing a larger media coverage. We're not seeing international action. Why?
Well, it's difficult to say. The violence in the past 2 months has run, frankly, counter to the prevailing narrative in Myanmar at the moment, which is one of a political and economic opening up, if you will, and one of reform, which has been the narrative now for about the past year. And while that narrative is extremely accurate as it pertains to the political and economic centers of the country, it has not extended to the ethnic minority areas. In the violence in northern Rakhine State in the past 2 months is simply the most recent and most dramatic example of that fact that the reform effort has not extended to ethnic minorities, but rather has been confined to the political and economic spheres.
Right. Well, Amnesty International, where you're working, has been speaking on this now, and it's been blaming both the military rulers as well as the extremist Buddhists who are there in Myanmar for these acts of violence. Basically, what does your organization say about the type of action that should be taken by the international community to stop this?
Well, the international community needs to pressure the government of Myanmar. At the end of the day, it is the authority duty as under international law to first and foremost cease these violations against the ethnic and religious minority, and also to cease committing violations themselves, which they have been committing, and to ensure that the communal violence does not take place under their watch. Most interestingly, the continuance of communal violence has been perhaps because of their presence as opposed to despite their presence, which is what the state of emergency was designed to prevent. And so, first and foremost, the violations and violence needs to stop. And secondly, the citizenship law of 1982, which currently keeps the Rohingya population from being citizens of the country, needs to be amended or repealed such that Rohingyas are firmly made to be citizens of the country.
Right. And another thing that comes to mind right now, is the issue of Myanmar refugees. The UN, for instance, said that it's not going to give them refugee status, these Rohingyas who want to flee the situation in Myanmar. And we know that the neighboring countries are not welcoming these people who want to take refuge in those countries. So what's happening to those people who are trying to flee Myanmar yet can't? What is going to happen to them?
Well, a couple of things. Those who are actually able to cross international boundaries and have a well-founded fear of persecution in Myanmar would in fact be granted refugee status and seen as such. But what the UN has refused to do is to decide ahead of time that these people should be refugees and to essentially facilitate their exit from a country. UNHCR typically deals with persons who have left the country and already become refugees. They're not in the business of creating, if you will, de jure, a refugee population. And clearly Bangladesh has been acting in violation of international refugee law in not allowing asylum seekers and refugees to cross its border, and in some cases pushing back those who have crossed its border.
Benjamin Zawaki with Amnesty International joining us there on the line from Bangkok. Thank you very much, sir.